The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side. I had another great visit this week with John down at Arkham Comics and Games. Hey, we gave away another t-shirt, so listen for that. And we're giving away the Amazing Spider-Man 789 blank cover with original art by Mike Doherty. You can see it on Twitter. But to win that, you need to answer this question on Twitter. First to answer it wins it. Who is our high school art teacher? First one to answer that on Twitter wins the cover. So with that, let's head into the store. Hey, it looks nice in here. You got all cleaned up from Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty busy on Saturday, but we got it, managed to get it all put back together by today.
Did you have a lot of customers?
You know, I did. I didn't really have much more than last year. I didn't see a huge increase in traffic, but I had about the same amount as the year before, which, you know, I guess is okay. I was hoping to have an increase. I had quite a few comics left over still. But yeah, overall, it was fun. A lot of people in, a lot of new people, and it was a good day. So
to timestamp this, because if people listen to this like a month or two from now, we're talking about Free Comic Book Day. That was last Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was talking to Motor over at Legends, and he says that this is, it's like marking of the season, and he was loving it. They've been busy ever since. Is that the same for you? Do you get a bump into the summer, like for traffic?
It tends to pick up some. Sunday was still a fairly busy day. Monday was decent. Today actually was a slower Wednesday than normal.
Well, people were just there Saturday, maybe?
Yeah, that could be. Although, you know, subscribers generally will still come pick up their new books. But yeah. I had some regulars that didn't make it in today. So I don't know what that was about.
I'm picturing you with your head out the door looking around the parking lot like, where is everybody?
Where are they?
Try the thing that Slade does. Run out in this parking lot. Say, come in here, buy the book.
It's like, damn it, I built it and they're not coming.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. But it'll pick up. You know, if they don't make it Wednesday, they always make it in another day. It's not really the end of the world. It just spreads it out a little bit more throughout the week, which is actually not always a bad thing.
That's good. There were some good books too, that for free.
Yeah, the I got a chance to read the Avengers and Spider-Man books from Free Comic Book Day, and both of them were really good. Both of them are setting up.
You're ruining
most
my...
of the next. Sorry,
I'm just kidding. That's why I mentioned it. That's fine.
Yeah, most of the next couple of months worth of events, and then of course I read the DC Year of the Villains. Which is also setting up DC's summertime events. So overall, those were good. I didn't get a chance to read too many of the other ones, but I did read those three.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the ones I was going to talk about later, but we could talk about now, is the Spider-Man one. Spider-Man with the Venom.
So.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Obviously, the first story was setting up the Absolute Carnage event that's coming up in the summertime.
Yeah,
and that was pretty good.
What was it, like four pages, I think? Maybe a little more than that.
It was a little more than that. Both the Avengers and the Spider-Man books both had two stories each, and so they ended up being about 10 pages each or so, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. I didn't count them. There might not be quite 22 pages like a regular comic release, but...
A lot of ads.
Yeah, there's more ads.
Yeah.
But the thing that discouraged me a little bit, I don't know if you got a chance to read the Avengers one.
No, I didn't.
Or not. But it was set post War of the Realms. So you already kind of... Yeah.
Well, so the books
come out. You already kind of got some of the...
I'm glad I didn't read it then.
Yeah, it didn't really tell you a whole lot, but it's just, you know, Tony was flying, or Iron Man was flying around... talking about, you know, the big war with all the Asgardians that just finished. And it's like, okay, well, that's over.
Whoops.
You know, they know the timing of Free Comic Book Day, so I'm not quite sure why they do stuff like that. It goes back to that Batman fiasco we had arguments about a few months ago.
Yeah.
You know, but in any case, it didn't spoil the end of War of the Realms at all, but, you know, at least you knew everything was still standing when it was over because it was just business as usual.
Yeah.
So
That's funny. Yeah. So, Peter Mayhew, since our last podcast, that's too bad.
Yeah, that was a bummer. You know, all of our heroes are passing on.
It's funny because it's like I put it out on Twitter, and it really I thought was it just when I heard about it and I put out the tweet, it really did exemplify like what he was. It's like we have a lot of actors now doing animation where they just do their voices, and that seems to it's like, oh, look at how they can you can't see them, but you just hear their voice. He's kind of the opposite. He doesn't get to act with his voice. He can only act with his mannerisms. And I hope it played well on Twitter because I didn't mean anything negative. Nobody said anything, but it's like, but I really did as a young kid. It's like, you'd look at a dog and you know how dogs tilt their heads and look at it. It's like Chewie did a lot of those things. And he's the one that, especially for kids, cause I was six, when I first met him, quote unquote, met him. And it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it gave you, is it possible that he actually gave a lot of kids a respect for animals too? Like animorphize, I can't say the word, but you know what I mean? Put life and brains into an animal because you're thinking of Chewie being smart, but you can't understand them. Dogs
could be
dogs. You know what I mean? And it's like, and that carries through the rest of your life. And that to me is pretty powerful because I don't know of another character that's like him in my life.
No,
that you'd be like, oh,
and you really, obviously you never heard him speak. So everything was done through grunts and growls. But, you know, it was funny after he passed, there was somebody put up a behind the scenes from when they were filming Star Wars, and he was in, you know, his Chewbacca costume, but he was speaking to Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
And it was just the most bizarre thing because, you know.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I understand him.
I was fortunate enough to meet him and run into him several times.
Oh, really?
At different conventions, yeah. And he was really just a super nice guy. But I'm trying to remember the last time I saw him. Comic Palooza, maybe like 2015-ish or so. He was struggling. Like, he was looking pretty bad then. You know, obviously he hasn't been in great health for quite a while.
Yeah.
He actually was wheelchair bound prior to Force Awakens and did a lot of work to get himself able to, you know, be ready to film in that. So he's had it tough for a while, but super nice guy.
Yeah.
You know, always ready to, you know, he was one of those ones that you would just kind of see walking around throughout the event where, you know, a lot of them nowadays are sitting behind the table with their handlers and they're not
easy to pick out in a crowd.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Yes. Definitely easy to spot, but you know, he was one that wasn't afraid to, you know, kind of mingle and, you know, would always stop and talk to everybody. So really nice guy and, you know, quite a big loss.
Yeah. All right. Did you catch the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, or are you boycotting that?
No, I did watch it. I did watch it the other day just because, like I said, you know how I feel about trailers, but I knew this was going to be very Endgame related, and, you know, we did have some questions after the end of Endgame, so I wanted to see where this was going to bring us. And I don't know. What did you think of it? Because I have a couple things that I don't love about it, but...
Oh, really? I liked it. I like how it seems to pick up right after Endgame. Obviously, Peter's still in mourning. Looks like the world is.
Everybody's still in mourning, pretty much.
It's fairly soon after the events of Endgame. And it's obviously introducing a multiverse.
I wonder where I heard that before.
Well, we knew that they did it. We just don't know how. And it's like, is it going to be, they didn't answer the question, but is it a multiverse in the respect, like what we know of, like multiple worlds, or is it, is there multiverse different timelines? Because the Ancient One says, you know, this, this universe is set on this timeline. If you go off of that, that for all intents and purposes is another universe, and that's a multiverse. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
they could
use, it depends on, yeah, it depends on how, you know, in their comics, their quote unquote multiverse is separate. They're all along the same timeline, you know, it's separate, realities, but you know, for instance, you get Miles Morales and, Spider-Gwen and all those crossing over. But it's all basically the same timeline. So I don't know how they're going to do it in the movies, like you said.
They,
but,
they're clearly, all of the, 616 references are popping up now from previous movies on Twitter. People are showing, you know, in the Thor, whichever part it was where, what's his name's teaching, and it's written on the chalkboard behind him, universes 616.
Oh, what? Yeah, I didn't catch
that.
Yeah,
I've seen that one. Somebody, it's on somebody's, who somebody told me today, it was on a locker. I think it was Peter's locker or something like that, a 616 or something.
Oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, now I have to go back and try
but
to spot
all those
spot
Easter
all
eggs.
Those
yeah, you can't. It's so many.
Yeah, what was it? Dr. Selvig? Is that his name?
Yeah, Selvig. Yeah. I know his Skarsgård. Skarsgård is his
real
name.
Yeah, Skarsgård is his real name, but like, Selvig, I think, was his name. But yeah, I didn't catch that either. You know, and obviously we've already been introduced to the multiverse through, you know, the Spider-Verse movie.
Right.
So, you know, I think this is just a take on that, but... I don't know. I think it looks really good. The only real issue I have with it is Mysterio. And I'm hoping that he's just kind of...
He's manipulating.
Setting Pete... Right. Yeah. I'm hoping he's just manipulating because...
I don't think
that's... What I really do not want is for him to be the quote-unquote hero because that is not Mysterio.
No, no.
You know?
I don't think that's... I don't think that's it at all. I think that...
Well, they did it with the Skrulls, so you know they could do it with Mysterio also.
Well, in, I mean, as we said, talking about the Skrulls, though, they didn't really change much. There is a storyline where the Skrulls... Skrulls and Kree are in a war.
Right.
And as we said before, depending on which side you're on is how you are viewed as villain or hero. So I don't think they really stretch too far in Captain Marvel for that. If they make Mysterio a good guy, that's a huge stretch.
Right, but this is also the Earth 833 Mysterio. It's not the 616 Mysterio.
Right.
So they could say, well, the 616 Mysterio, he's the bad guy.
Right.
But this guy over here is
right.
the good
and
guy.
And they've done that in the Arrowverse,
and,
too.
Right, and which, like I said, that's just not what I want to see.
I don't think they'll do it, though. I don't
think that. I think he's actually manipulating... you know, events and he will turn out to be the bad guy. But other than that, I mean, I really actually think it looks pretty, it looked great. You know, you got a little bit more of the answers of, you know, from the earlier trailers, you know, they made it seem like Fury just kind of showed up in Europe and, you know, ambushed Peter. But now we find out that he'd been trying to contact
him. He's recruiting him basically to replace Tony.
Yeah, he'd been trying to get him for a while, and Peter was just ignoring him. So it set up a little bit more context for that, which was cool. But it looks like, you know, like we kind of theorized when we talked about Endgame, that all his classmates, anybody relevant to him in those movies, all were part of the snap, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they all came back. So, you know, some of his other classmates might have aged and moved on, but everybody that we know as a character and care about, we're all victims of the snap.
Yeah,
so
I know.
That's a very, once again, convenient plot point, but
stop with the
convenience. I'll go with it.
All right. Maybe they'll take care of that somehow. It is called creative writing.
Right. They might talk about it. We'll see.
Yeah. Batwoman teaser. Did you see that? That was very quick.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Yeah, I mean,
that was cool.
You didn't see a whole lot.
No.
But,
that's nice they put it out, though. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I really think it's going to be good. I loved her, you know, obviously in the crossover this year.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a pretty solid show. I look forward to it.
And HBO Watchmen trailer hit today? That was today, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, today.
It did. I haven't had a chance to watch that yet. I saw a little teaser image of what looked like Rorschach. Rorschach. I don't know how to say it.
Right.
But,
it's not Horshack from Welcome Back, Cotter.
Mr. Cotter. But yeah, it looked, which surprised me because I didn't think they were actually supposed to be part of the,
well,
part of this show.
When you see the trailer.
So, yeah, I need to watch
I wish
the
you'd
trailer.
Seen it because we could, I was going to ask you about it. It looks like, to me, it looks like the Watchmen are gone and people have picked up the mantle. And are it seems like people are representing them. There's scenes of multiple Rorschachs.
Okay.
So, it, you know what I mean? Like, so people are trying to take over, because he, spoiler alert, he died in Watchmen. So it looks like people are picking up where he left off.
30-year-old spoiler alert, guys.
Yeah, I know. but yeah, so he, and that's why, like, they just have, like, a painted face, and it's not like the manipulated face, like, from the original. So I think it looks good. Very well done from what you can
see. Yeah, well, I'm definitely gonna at least give it a chance. But I'm looking forward to it. I liked Watchmen quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm always a little cautious when, you know, something is called The Watchmen, but it doesn't actually have The Watchmen in it, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do.
We'll get more into it as it gets closer.
It's just kind of like the Watchmen universe, but a whole bunch of different characters. And
yeah.
That's like calling a show, you know, Gotham and not having Batman in it.
You know? Oh, God. Oh, it's got Bruce.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, but it would be like
Right. I thought you were making fun of Gotham. I'm like, no, that has it.
Well, no, I'm not. Yeah, I don't watch Gotham, so I can't make fun of it anymore, but that's what I meant. It's like, it'd be like having, you know, Justice League, but not having any of the Justice League members in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
What was it? Oh, so let's see. Oh, the, have you seen the list for the untitled movies or the Disney's list of movies and all the untitled Marvel movies and Star Wars movies? What'd you think?
Yeah,
What'd you think of that?
I mean, I'm happy that it looks like we're getting another Marvel movie a little bit sooner than we originally thought we were going to, you know, cause we have something scheduled May 2020. Which is just about the same time as we would get another movie anyways. And we kind of speculated that we were going to go like a year or two without one. Now, my fear is that that turns out to be like New Mutants or something. That's like one of the Fox movies.
Well, New Mutants is actually scheduled for April 3rd, 2020.
Okay, so that's not right before that.
Right, that's not an untitled one. That one was actually in there, and it's titled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't see that. That's a Fox. So New Mutants on 4/3/20. May 1st is the first untitled Marvel movie.
Right, which, you know, if we think back, like the first one this year was, what, end of February, which was Captain Marvel. So
yeah, March.
It's really about that time frame that
I think
we would be expecting a movie anyway.
We're kind of
missing. It's really like we're not skipping a beat.
Right. Well, we're kind of missing because this year was Captain Marvel. The year before was Black Panther. And that came at like end of February, beginning of March.
Right.
That's
but the then the next one was like July.
No.
The
next one was Infinity War in May. Then you'd have Spider-Man.
And then you go to July.
Right.
And then you went back to May again. So that's what I'm saying. We're
not
really losing.
Right.
We're not really skipping a beat is my point. And we kind of thought we were going to maybe skip a whole year. So,
yeah,
you know,
I think
Marvel, I mean, Disney likes their money. So of course they don't want to skip any time, but
right.
And with
Disney Plus though, that's what we had speculated before is that Disney Plus was going to kind of hold us over. And now it seems we've only got like almost like, not even 6 months between the release of Disney Plus and then the first set of movies, starting with the Fox movie, you know, New Mutants. And
what makes me mad about the comments I've seen about that list is that everybody's freaking out because in 2022 or whatever, we get Star Wars.
The first Star Wars, untitled
Star
Wars.
Which is 3 years from now. And then you know, every other year after that for 6 years or whatever, for 3 years.
Yeah, starting 2022, it's Untitled Star Wars, and then 23 is Avatar 3. So basically, right, starting in 2021, we go Avatar.
We go Star Wars, Avatar.
Well, Avatar first. Avatar 2 in 2021. Then Star Wars, Avatar, Star Wars, Avatar, Star Wars, Avatar.
Right. So, but the point I was making is that people are griping that, oh, they're going back to the Star Wars well too quick, and we're going to get Star Wars burnout and things like that. But nobody bats an eye that 8 months from now we're getting another Marvel movie.
Right.
It's like, you never hear a Marvel burnout. Like, you never, ever, ever hear anybody complaining about there being too many Marvel movies. Well, but people that have claimed to love Star Wars their whole life are bitching because they're getting a Star Wars movie
right
in 3 years.
Well,
and it's like, I don't understand. I'll never understand Star Wars fans. Nobody hates Star Wars more than Star Wars fans. And it's just ridiculous to me.
Well, the difference being, the only obvious difference is the Marvel universe is much larger. So there's a lot more to draw from. There's a lot more characters that you could flesh out. Whereas the Star Wars universe is...
For most people,
the Star Wars universe is just the movies.
Right, but that's not the Star Wars universe.
Right, that's true.
You know, the Star Wars universe is pretty deep. It's just, it depends on what directions they want to go.
But
now, obviously, the lore in Star Wars isn't quite as rich as Marvel, you know, because it just hasn't.
Right.
Even though there's been a lot of Star Wars fiction written over the years, it hasn't kind of branched out to the scope that Marvel has. But there's enough Star Wars lore and content to go for, you know, you could do another 30 movies and, you know.
But there's, a lot of people don't know that, and you're falling, you in particular, falling victim to the vocal minority that are complaining,
well,
you know.
Right, but
most
the
people
vocal
are
minority are
Star
the
Wars.
Ones that that should know this stuff. The ones that are really complaining are the ones that should know it. Because, honestly, the people that are complaining think that Star Wars should have ended after Return of the Jedi and would have been happy if nothing ever happened ever again.
Well,
because they hate the prequels, they hate the sequels, they hate this, they hate that. It's like, you're not a Star Wars fan if you hate everything Star Wars.
But see, then I don't listen to that, though. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the vocal minority. It's like, it's,
well, I'm not saying listen to it, but it's out there. It's naive to think that it doesn't exist.
Right.
I don't base my opinions on any of that, but I'm just saying it irritates me that
I think
people are so vocal against new Star Wars movies, but not a one of them has a problem with another Marvel movie coming out in 8 months. You know,
I think the only the closest we came to true Star Wars oversaturation was Solo. I do think there was a hit there because Star Wars had just come out. Last Jedi, I think. Is that the one that came out in the December?
Yeah,
right,
but it came out in December, and Solo came out in May.
But the fatigue wasn't necessarily from that movie, but Solo came out right after Endgame, after Death. People were just exhausted from going to the movies, too. And I don't think Solo got the foot traffic that they wanted, and they're the ones that said, okay, we're going to put a hold on these for a little while. And I think 2 years from now is that's a long time.
Right.
And I
that's
think they're
saying.
Doing
it
exactly. Yeah, I think it's going to work out perfect, especially with Disney Plus. You're going to, by the time the first one comes out, we're going to be so, it could be, we've heard in the past about a Boba Fett movie. So you could you could roll right out of The Mandalorian into a Boba Fett movie. You know what I mean?
I mean, I saw you posted something about that. You tweeted about that earlier.
And
obviously, none of us really know because, you know, what do we know? All we know is Untitled. But
right.
I would be very surprised if any of those three movies are quote unquote standalone movies. I think they either belong to Rian Johnson or they belong to the Game of Thrones guys, both of whom are developing trilogies, and I would bet money that those movies are based on one of those two trilogies.
Well, that so
I don't think they're going to be like the quote unquote story movies.
I would say two of them maybe. I would say the first one would be a standalone. The second one would be the beginning of another trilogy, because the trilogies usually come out, what, every 3 years or 2 years?
Well, they've been coming every other year since Force Awakens.
The first set came
every 2 years.
The first set came every three, I think.
Well, between Star Wars and Empire, there was
right
almost 4 years,
and then Jedi was
and then
like,
Empire and Jedi was 2 years.
Oh, was it?
You
I
know,
thought
81
they were three.
And 83.
Yeah,
no, it was 2 years. Like I said, I don't know that. You know, obviously this is speculation, and
of
who
course
knows? But I almost don't think we get any more of those standalone movies. Like, my impression is that the Star Wars characters, as we know it, are done and gone, and we probably never see them again. Like, we don't get a Boba Fett movie or a Yoda movie. Like, that's just my thinking.
Obi-Wan.
But
that's the
but
other
I think
rumor.
That, right. There's been rumors of an Obi-Wan, rumors of a Yoda. But I think that Disney is ready to move on from George Lucas's vision of Star Wars, and they're going to go off and do Knights of the Old Republic, or I think they're going to try to develop new characters. That's not to say that they won't do any more standalone movies, but I think those movies will be based around new characters.
Oh, okay.
Characters
I see what you're saying.
You know
done,
what I'm saying?
They're done with the old
like,
characters.
I think they're done.
Right.
Right. I think they're done with everything that came before.
Right.
With the end of this movie.
I gotcha.
So I just don't think we get an Obi-Wan or a Yoda movie. I think they want to build the next, you know, franchise.
Right, right.
And I think their standalone movies will be based on those characters. And that's why I think that we get a trilogy set up first, because that'll give them characters that they could then spin off into
right
other movies or back onto Disney Plus or, you know, things like that. I think we'll see familiar locale, you know, like they might go back to Mos Eisley or, you know, we might see
right
things that are familiar to us. But I think we get all new actors, all new people. Even Finn and Rey and all those. I think we're done with all of those characters.
Yeah.
And I think the next things that come are going to be, you know, more original and separate from, like I said, anything we've had before. So.
Yeah.
Just my two cents. Could
no
be 100% wrong. But, you know, hey, that's what I think anyway. Because that's what it seems like they're gearing. Just like Endgame was kind of the end of Phase three you know,
of the
first three phases of Marvel. I think Rise of the Skywalker is the end of, you know, this phase of Star Wars, and I think we go forward.
It's funny they're ending with the Rise.
I know. Well, and somebody else, obviously, you've probably seen this, and I'm far from the first person to point this out, but you know, it's funny how in this year of 2019, you know, we see the end of Marvel, we see the end of Game of Thrones, we see the end of Star Wars. All three things which are huge cultural hits.
Yeah.
And all kind of come to an end this year. So
see, the thing with the Marvel, though, I think we may actually look back on Endgame not as a end, but as a, it's also like kind of like a high school graduation. It's the end of high school. It's the, you know, but it's right the commencement of the next version of next stage.
Right. It's obviously a jumping off point for what comes next.
Right.
But I think we're done with certain characters.
Absolutely.
And certain things.
Very,
you know,
similar to graduating. You're done with all right those characters. You're about to go to another place and have a bunch of
right
other characters. But the foundation has been set. And I'll
right
bet you that there's a lot of stuff in Endgame that are we're going to see in the next phase that were that was started in that movie. And we'll be referencing back to that movie a lot.
I imagine so.
Before we get into that part, Endgame.
Uh-huh.
Because we've been talking about the whole, that our last conversation was started this morning by Pete. At the SuperSwede78 on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
So, that's who is getting the t-shirt this week. He's been following us for a while. He's been great. He starts great conversations. This morning I'd already selected him. I was like, I wanted him to get a t-shirt to get the Bright Side spotlight listener spotlight
right
whatever. So if he can, you know, when he hears this, get in touch with me, get me your address, Pete. But yeah, he started that conversation this morning. It was great because we had a back and forth, a few other people jumped in on it. That's what we want. That's what we want to do. That's what you and I have been talking about since we started this. It'll be great. You and I have been sitting here talking. Now we have people talking to us and starting right conversations. And sometimes I've been away from my phone for a little while. I come into a conversation that was started with us, and I'm like, oh, cool, jump right. in. Hey, right. guys, can I jump in here?
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's great. And people like Pete and Joe and Jeremy and guys like that, and there'll be more to come. But thanks for doing it. And everybody that, you know, if you haven't done it, jump on Twitter. That's what we want. We want to create that environment. So yeah, Pete.
And honestly, I've been loving all the pictures of the Infinity Gauntlet out in the wild.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. I am, Jerry. I was like,
I'm not sure how you drive with that.
I don't know. I like the one with the beer can in it because I tried doing that, and I have since I saw him do it. I did it, and you've got to curl the thumb in because there's a lock for the fingers, right? So you can't actually grab it by your hand. So what you do is you have
to like wrap the hand around.
You have to curl the pinky all the way in, place the can on that, and then hold it there, and then snap the picture. But that was awesome. But the driving in the car, and did you see the speed he's doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I didn't want to be in front of or behind that guy.
So Jeremy's cruising along in the dark, which is perfect.
Right.
But we don't condone this at all.
No, because not only is he speeding with the glove on, but he's snapping pictures of it. And
yeah, exactly. He's snapping. Yeah.
Well, maybe somebody took his picture. I don't know.
76 miles, not that early in the morning. Usually don't have passengers. 76 miles an hour in a Toyota Tacoma going down the highway with the lights, with the stones.
Stones glowing.
Stones. It was it's a gorgeous
picture. Snapping pictures with a beer in the other hand. Yeah. I don't know what was going on.
And I like Dr. Joe with the, we got to do the flat Stanley thing. So.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
But
that
was pretty awesome. Cool. I've really enjoyed seeing all those pictures. Yeah. It's pretty.
That's
pretty
fun.
Awesome.
So yeah. So Pete, get in touch with me, buddy. And we'll get that t-shirt out to you. I need an address and a size. The super sweet, I'm guessing an XL, but I don't want to stamp you on that.
Yeah, don't. that's all him. DJ. Yeah. I didn't say anything.
No, he's a big guy. He's a good.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a good sized guy. I wouldn't want to meet him in a dark alley. so, all right, let's get to Endgame.
Endgame.
Yeah, you've seen it twice.
I have seen it twice. I went and saw it again last Thursday. So I'll say this. I enjoyed it quite a bit more the second time than I did the first time.
Oh, good.
I don't know that it still passes Infinity War for me, but it's much closer.
Right.
Like, I still feel like Infinity War is a better movie overall.
Yep.
And I still, like I said, personal favorites aside, I still think Winter Soldier is my favorite. But I like
that.
I liked it a lot more the second time.
That is a very common opinion that I've heard a lot of people say. That's not one I share, but it sounds like you're closer to me because even after seeing, I said last week, after seeing Infinity War again, I actually liked Infinity War more now than I did before. Right. It still doesn't rise to Endgame, so we're kind of flip flopped on that.
Right, but like I said, it's a lot closer for me. I really, really enjoyed it a lot more the second time around. I think partially because I had other conversations and, you know, had a chance to unwrap some of this stuff. And then second time, obviously, and then I just kind of, the issues that I had, I just kind of put them aside and just watched and enjoyed the movie. And
welcome to my world.
But that being said, I still bumped into a couple of things that, you know,
some new stuff.
I can't let them go. So here's the first one.
Okay.
I'm going to go back to the whole Captain Marvel rescuing Tony out in space thing. And, you know, how we talked about the convenience of her finding him at just the right time and how he had, I don't know, let's just say it was even the middle of the night and he had 4 or 5 hours worth of air left, when she found him for grins. At one point when Tony's drifting, he says to Pepper in the helmet that he's 1,000 light years away from home. So I did a little research because Mr. Science over here, you know.
You're looking at me?
I'm looking at you. You know, when something's in motion, it stays in motion, BS, whatever.
That's not BS. That's true.
Care to take a guess how many miles a light year equates to?
A long way. No, yeah. I don't. It doesn't matter.
5.88 trillion miles is one light year.
It doesn't 5. Matter. 8 it's a light
trillion
year.
Miles.
Yeah, and do you know how long it takes to travel it? At the speed of light? A year.
Yeah, but right. Okay.
What's
all
the
right,
point?
So, but that's what I'm right, here's my point. Like, how fast does Captain Marvel fly? Like, she doesn't fly at like 10 times the speed of light. My point is that's still more than a 4-hour trip, you know, to fly that thing back to Earth.
Okay.
You know? He would have run out of air. He would be dead. He wouldn't have made that. He wouldn't have survived. He would have died while she was flying that ship home.
Really?
And run out of air and been dead. Yeah.
She couldn't have jump-started it with her powers?
How? How is she going to jump-start the air in the ship?
Well, how did they run?
It didn't travel on its own power back to Earth.
It ran out of power.
Right, exactly. So it was powerless when she flew it back.
I could argue with you all day and give you very reasonable explanations because it's a comic book. John, you actually did actual science research to justify the reason why a comic book story doesn't work.
Well, because you throw science at me.
I only threw science at you because you said, how do you know he's on course? What if he got blown off course? You literally can't get blown off course in space.
Well, and literally you can't travel 1,000 light years in 4 hours.
No kidding.
He'd be dead.
You are right. Absolutely.
He'd be dead.
You're right.
So that
you're
that
right.
is an issue for me.
That's
plot
right.
hole.
You know, in Iron Man, when a man crashes into the desert from like 500 feet in the sky, wearing only a bucket for a helmet, he's dead.
So now let me ask you this. Let's say it takes her, I don't know, how many days it takes her to fly that ship back, and let's say even he survives. Right. Here's my other question.
He did.
Okay. So here's my other question. Let's say, like, before she met up with the ship, she stopped at, like, the Space 7-Eleven and had a big gulp
to drink. I'm going to end all of this right now. This was a comic book movie, not a documentary on space travel.
Okay. Here's my other point.
Okay, so you want to get into some comic books?
No, dude. I want to make my point because this was going to be funny and you just ruined the damn thing.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You ruined it. No, forget it. No. I don't want to say it.
No, say it now. You just told us there's a punchline.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, you know, it's a multiple hour, day, year trip to fly that ship back home. I couldn't even sit through a 3-hour movie without stopping to go to the bathroom. So I was just kind of wondering what Carol's doing when she's flying out in space. Like, does that costume have one of those little butt flap diaper things that...
Well, no, she has, along with her power, she has a super bladder.
Yeah, I don't know how she manages all that flying around in space.
That's one of those things that, like, when you see in the movies and they'll shoot their guns and they never have to reload. Well, did you ever notice that none of the characters have to unload? Have you ever seen a comic book character in any of these movies have to be, hang on a sec, Thor's got to take a potty break? No,
but I've also never seen him like fly through space for multiple days at a time. All right. So here's the other thing, and this isn't a plot hole that really bothers me, but this is just something I noticed.
Oh, well, what the hell? Throw it in there.
And this is just, I guess, because of the fact that we have to hire a bunch of pretty people to be in comic book movies. But have you noticed that the second every single person pops up on screen, the first thing they do is pull their mask off or, like, reveal their face to everybody around?
Well, they're actors.
It's like, that's what I'm saying.
They
but instantly, all these people, like, pull their mask off the second they get on screen. It's like every single one of them that jumped out of one of Doctor Strange's holes in the sky. As soon as they hit the ground, they pop their mask open.
Right.
And I'm just thinking, these guys' secret identities are the worst kept secrets in the history of comic books.
Well, that is, did you notice in the Marvel, in the MCU, all the characters are well known around the world? They're not secret. The only one that's still a secret, I think, is Peter, which according to the latest trailer, he's gonna be outed. But everybody else in the MCU, Thor is known all over the world. He has no secret identity. Captain America has no secret identity. Tony Stark has no secret identity. Hawkeye has. He kept a secret even from the he kept his family a secret, but out and about, he has no secret identity. None of them have a secret identity.
I think he Whereas does. Like, the only ones we know that are outed are Tony and Steve, and that's no different than the comics. I mean, in the comics, everybody knows Tony Stark is Iron Man, and everybody knows Steve Rogers is Captain America.
Yeah, but
I don't know that that everybody knows Nick Hawkeye was Clint Barton. Well, Nick Fury knows everybody, but I'm talking about just random street people, you know.
Hawkeye was never called Hawkeye in the MCU.
But he was also never called Clint Barton by random street bypasser.
Well, we
just because you never see him, you never see him interact with anybody,
right?
Except for other.
No,
superheroes.
But he walks down the street looking like that. We never and look at. I mean, when
well, so does Clark Kent, Superman, but that's nobody knows who he is either. So
right, but Nick Fury, but he has no disguise. Clint has no disguise. It's like you take
a
picture.
I would argue that neither does Clark Kent.
No kidding. No, but yeah, but Clark Kent. We could argue that for in a different podcast. That, but he right. does have a disguise, and it is known that Clark Kent. Nobody knows who Clark Kent is. They don't know he's Superman. But look at Nick Fury. Nick Fury doesn't have an alternate identity.
Well, but he's not a superhero either. He's just agent.
Yeah, but he's just the leader of the most secret, you know.
Well, right, I mean, but everybody still knows.
But you know what I mean?
He's not like, trying to be. He doesn't have an alt, but he never goes by another name either.
Right.
Like, it's not like Peter Parker / Spider-Man. Nick Fury's always just Nick Fury.
Correct. Well,
you know.
Fury.
Well, whatever.
That's No, that's what he said in
I know.
Captain Marvel.
But. I don't know. Like I said, I just thought it was odd that, not even odd, it just struck me as funny that, like, the second every one of them shows up on screen, like, even Pepper, when she flies in with her costume that she shouldn't have, the second she hits the ground, she pops her mask open so everybody can see who it is.
Yeah. It's like, well, go watch.
Nobody needs to know who all these people are.
Yeah, go watch Backdraft. That's a real, you know, based on a real, it's not comic book characters. Those are supposed to be firefighters. They all take their masks off when they get into the building so they can act out a scene, but they're in the middle of a fire.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's because they're all pretty people in movies.
Yeah, they're all pretty people in movies. You got to show their faces.
I'm not saying there's a problem with it. You don't have to argue with me. I'm just telling you that it's something I thought was funny. Yeah. Like, none of them have to really take any pains to keep their secret identity secret.
Right.
Even from other heroes, because, like, even if you go to the Marvel comics, like, nobody knows that Matt Murdock is Daredevil, you know? I mean, a lot of them still have secret identities, that even from other heroes.
Well, in the comics, like...
But in the MCU, like, everybody knows everybody.
That's
it's like,
what, yeah,
we're
that's
just on this
just
big,
said.
Right, everybody you know, this knows... big kumbaya, you know, field trip, and everybody knows... Hell, Peter Parker's running around telling everybody, hey, I'm Peter Parker, so...
Well, yeah. And it looks like he's going to out himself to everybody in the, you know, because that's what I said earlier is like they have no secret identities. They're just all outed. And speaking of which, Endgame will be on Disney Plus on December 11th.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's going to be cool.
Yeah.
I
actually thought it was going to be on launch for some reason. I thought the original news was that. It was going to be on Disney Plus on launch day, but I guess that's not the case. So
I'll bet you they'll have Captain Marvel on launch
day. But, I mean, December 11th, well, yeah, I think for sure. But, I mean, December 11th is still only about 3 weeks after the launch anyway.
I think the launch is like the 11th or the 13th of November, isn't it? Something like that?
It's 17th.
Oh, is it?
I thought it was the 17th. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I thought it was 11/17, and, you know, that would basically be like 3.5 weeks later.
Yeah.
For Endgame, so
yeah. So, all right, are we done with our argument for today?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I got one more, but don't think you really want to hear it. So,
oh no, it's
so. All right, so the last thing, I have no issues with Captain America picking up the hammer because that's happened in the comics multiple times.
Yep.
But Thor is the god of thunder. Mjolnir is not the hammer of thunder. Like. Cap can whip that hammer around all he wants, but he shouldn't be able to call lightning down from the sky because Thor's the god of thunder.
Yeah.
Thor's the god, not the god of hammers, as
we
found out in Ragnarok.
Right.
He's the god of thunder. To my knowledge, the hammer itself doesn't generate lightning. It doesn't call the elements. Like, that was always Thor that was calling the elements down through the hammer.
So in the comics, he never manipulated thunder and lightning?
I don't believe so. Like, I think that's because that's Thor's innate power.
That is a good point. because his dad.
I don't think that's a fact. Like, I don't think that's a product of the hammer. If I'm wrong, I guess
He's the god of thunder, so he does it. He does it with the axe.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Thor can call it down without the weapon itself. It's not the weapon that does that. So, like
that. I can agree with you on that one. I can agree with you.
Oh my god!
I don't mind the scene.
It's not, I didn't mind it either. It's just something that, you know, like I said, none of these things ruin the movie for me.
No, but that's continuity to the comics.
I think about things when I watch them, and of course. I'm just sharing that with our listeners.
I like that one. That one I can get on board with because that, you know, if it's not in continuity, if you can't find it in the comics, then I'm not mad about it. I think they can make their own storyline in the movie, and it is an awesome scene.
Yeah, I'm not mad about any of it. I'm not even mad about the 5.88,000 trillion miles that you had to fly. But I'm just telling you the things that I bump into when I'm watching the movie.
Right. That's your analytical side of your brain. Cause if we keep talking, you'll tell us how awesome it is that she could do it.
Awesome. I think it's more impressive that she held her bladder that long, honestly, than.
All right. On that note. All right. Are we ready to, can we talk about some comics now instead of talking about bladders?
Yeah. That's the end of my. I'm done with Endgame now. That's the last conversation I'm going to have about Endgame.
I'm sure it won't be.
Well, it'll be you bringing it up.
Oh, I look forward to bringing it up. I'll probably be bringing it up in a little bit. All right. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So we've got from DC Comics, Naomi issue number 4. The second print came out today. First prints are, again, long sold out and going for $8 to $10 and up. So I would expect the second printing to follow suit. You know, the second printings of the first 3 issues sold out right away. So this one I'm sure is going to do the same. It's not currently going crazy on eBay, but the listings that are up there are all listed over cover price. So if you're number one, I would prefer you pick this up because you want to read it. Because a lot of people didn't get a chance to get it when it was first print. And, in my mind, second prints exist for readers more than anything else. So hopefully you'll pick this up and read it. But
you're not talking to me, right?
No. Just in general.
Right. Okay.
But as far as the speculators go, this one is going to go up just like all the other ones have and follow suit. So definitely look for that. We've got a book called Eve Stranger, issue number 1. The 1 in 10 variants going for about $15. Again, more probably a product of a lower print run than anything. But, if you can find that one out there for cover price, it'd be worth picking up. From Marvel, we have Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man, issue number 6. This is the first appearance of a character called Spider-Bite. eBay listings right now are about $11 for the A cover, and bundled with the B cover, about $14. The B cover doesn't seem to be getting a lot of interest on its own, just basically cover price. I don't know what the history of this character is going to be, but any Spider first appearance is worth keeping an eye on. And then this is a book we talked about 2 weeks ago. War of the Realms, New Agents of Atlas, issue number 1. So this was a big spec book a few weeks ago. It was pre-selling for about $15 a copy. But then the news broke that Marvel was going to overship to all the stores. So that put a lot more copies out there than originally was thought there were going to be. So not sure what's going to happen to the prices on that. They are still kind of selling for about $8 to $10. This is the first appearance of a couple of new characters from Marvel. Like we talked about 2 weeks ago, there's a character called Wave. She's the first Filipino character that they've introduced. And then there was a couple of new Asian characters that I had never heard of. One was Era, something to do with the wind. Wave, obviously, is to do with the water. And then there was another, I mean, I'm bad, I can't think of the names, but there was another character in there that was Chinese, I believe. And I think they were all new characters. So this was a fun book. I actually have it as one of my recommended reading books, so we'll talk about it a little bit more when we get there. But I still had quite a few copies of this on the shelf when I left today, so it didn't have as much heat once it hit the streets today, like I said, as it did prior to release. But I think it's still going to be one to watch, depending on what happens with these characters down the line. You know, if these end up becoming important characters for Marvel later on, then these first appearances are going to be something to have. So I would definitely grab a copy. And again, even if you're not into the spec thing, it was, you know, not to bury the lead, but it was a good read. So it's worth picking up just to have it.
Cool.
That's it for new issue Speculator books. All right. So moving into our back issue bonus, first book is Thor number 337. So there's been rumors that Beta Ray Bill is going to appear at Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3, and Beta Ray Bill's first appearance was in Thor 337. This was already a semi-key book. You know, Beta Ray Bill is a popular character, and this is always a book that sells very, very quickly whenever I get them in, and people always seem to want it. But ever since the news broke that we may see him in Guardians, this book's really gone up in price. Middle condition copies are selling for about $100 or more right now, where it was $30-$35 not too long ago. So, you know, again, even if the rumor turns out not to be true, once these books start to go up, they don't tend to really go back down. So I would think this would hold value for quite a while going forward. And then along the same lines, they also was a rumor that Quasar would appear in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So his first appearance is Hulk number 234. It's another book that's selling for about $100 in nice condition, and, you know, very good copies around $30. So I would keep an eye on both of those, especially as news of Guardians starts to get a little bit closer.
Cool.
From 2014, we have All New Ghost Rider number 1. This is the first appearance of Robbie Reyes. I know we talked about this last week on the show, but Hulu announced a Ghost Rider series. And, of course, it's the Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider that we saw from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it is definitely, I know we speculated last time, but it is definitely the same character from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just spinning off into his own show. So this book is now seeing about $30 in price, and I would imagine would continue to go up from there. Avengers, issue number 8, the original run from 1963. This is the first appearance of Kang the Conqueror. Again, this was already a key book, but rumor has it now that Kang may be the next big bad in the next phase of Marvel movies.
Yeah.
You know, again, of course, this is all speculation, but seeing how Endgame had a lot to do with time travel and multiverses and things like that, Kang would fit right into that, being a, you know, a character that really manipulates a lot of time. So again, this was already a key book. So low grade copies are selling for about $300, and going up with higher grade copies. This is definitely a book to watch. And once again, even if it turns out that Kang is not the big bad of the next phase of Marvel, it's already a key book anyways, because he's a key character for the Avengers. So, and last book for back issue bonus is Avengers issue number 12. This is the 2010 series. This is where Iron Man wears the Infinity Gauntlet. No other reason for this book to be worth anything other than that the cover shows Iron Man wearing the Infinity Gauntlet. It actually seems pretty silly because the book itself doesn't tie into Endgame at all. But this thing's now selling for like $60. So
right.
Here we are.
Well, that's
None of those are really books that you're going to find laying around in back issue, but every single one of these was already worth money before this week. So you weren't necessarily going to find them, you know, in somebody's dollar bins, but, you know, but they are all books to watch. And that's it for back issue books.
Cool.
So,
what do we got for FOC? Are all of these the ones you tweeted out earlier today?
Most of them.
Cool.
Actually, I think all of them, except for maybe the Luke Skywalker book. But anyways, from DC Comics, we have two variant covers for Deceased issue number 2. There's a horror variant by Yasmin Putri and just a B cover variant by Francesco Mattina. Both of those are really good looking covers. And like DJ said, I did tweet these out earlier today, pictures of all of them.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
So you can find that and take a look. Harley Quinn issue number 62 from Frank Cho, and Justice League number 25, Jim Chung. DC has no new series solicited for next week, so that's it for DC. Moving down to Marvel. Most of Marvel's variant covers were not available, so I don't have any of those to cover. But there's two new series. Black Cat issue number 1 hits FOC this week. There's multiple covers for that. Again, not all of them were available, but the Art Germ cover is available, and it's really awesome. It's a great cover, and that would be my pick for the week. Although the main cover for Black Cat is done by J. Scott Campbell, and while it's not a variant cover, he's a very, very popular cover artist, so a lot of people may opt to just get the main cover for that. I know he's one of the artists that I actually collect cover art for, so I'm probably going to pick up both of them. And this isn't necessarily a new series, but this is the next in line of the Star Wars Age of Rebellion one-shots that have been coming along. Luke Skywalker is on cutoff this week, and of course there's multiple cover options available for it. So if you're collecting those, the Luke Skywalker one will have, you know, more traction than a lot of them, because obviously Luke's a major character, so I expect people to be out looking for that. And from Dynamite Comics, Red Sonja issue number 5, there's A through E covers on that. I think the C cover, the Linsner cover, is the best one of the bunch there. That is the one I tweeted out, and I think that's the one I would look at if I was...
Yeah, that was nice.
So, yeah.
That was cool.
And that's it for Final Order Cutoff this week. There was not a lot of new series. A lot of it was just continuing stuff, and a lot of covers weren't available, so I couldn't see them all.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready to get into recommended reading?
Yeah.
Do you want to go with you? I think we have 4 this week.
Awesome. Yeah, well, the first book I have is from Image Comics. It's called Excellence. Of course, issue number 1, written by Brandon Thomas and art by Carrie Randolph. This is a pretty interesting story. So this is, it looks like it's set in our world, maybe a little bit in the future, but definitely in, you know, it looked like New York City. You know, it looked like Earth that we're familiar with. Although magic is prevalent in the world. So families are born with magic powers. And this kind of follows the story of a father and son. And what was interesting about this is, you know, it starts off, the first page kind of breaks down all the rules for magic, you know, and it talks about when you can craft your first magic wand and different things. But the fourth rule is stated explicitly that only males are allowed to practice magic. So they don't allow the females, even if they have the ability to practice magic at all. But this kind of starts out being narrated, and you think it's by the dad, and he's talking about fathers and sons and the kind of things that he likes, because while the narration is going on, you see, you know, somebody giving birth, you know, basically you see this baby being born, and you think it's the father, you know, kind of talking to the son, until 3 or 4 pages in, you realize it's actually the son talking about the father and their relationship. But there's a character called Spencer Dales, and he is the kid, and he comes from a family that's, you know, one of the well-known and strong magic user families. You know, like, there's certain families that are known for being well-known in magic. And it seems like these abilities manifest in kids when they're about 5 years old. In any case, this is, you know, this guy obviously has a son, and he expects his son to be, you know, very strong in magic, just like he is. But the kid's not picking it up. He's not manifesting his abilities. And the father is just year after year. And it's kind of like every panel is, you see, it's like 4 years old, 5 years. So every panel is him kind of aging and not manifesting any powers. And as the father is just, you know, starting to give up on him towards the end and taking on other students and things, the kid is just kind of raging. You know, he's building up all this anger because his father's now kind of abandoning him because he can't do magic or whatever.
Right.
And so, of course, you know, he does develop the ability to do magic when he hits about 14. But now he's an angry kid who doesn't
right around the time of puberty when other things are developing.
Yeah. So now he's a very angry guy, and his power's manifesting, and he's not running. It doesn't look like he's going to be on the straight and narrow path. And you know, that's kind of where this first issue ends up. You know, they have to test at a certain age to, there's certain, I'm not explaining this world very well, but there's certain positions that people hold as they advance through the ranks of magic. Like you start as
a white belt, then a blue belt.
Yeah, essentially, right? That's how you're progressing. And so you have to test for that. And so when this kid shows up to test, everybody's making fun of him. Like, we thought we were going to see you so many years ago. Like, no matter where this guy goes, everybody's, like, kind of berating him because he didn't manifest his abilities early enough.
Right.
So they're just really setting this guy up to not be a happy camper.
Kind of see where it's going.
Yeah. So he does this test. He passes his test, and, you know, he gets to move up to, you know, the yellow belt or whatever. But he's not going to be one of the good guys, I think, is what we can find out from this first issue. So I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. I like the you know, I'm also a sucker for, like, father and son kind of storylines.
Right.
You know, there's certain parts of this story, like, not to spoil it, but there's one part where, like, the grandmother, who the kid is really close to, falls ill. So there's a really good moment where the father and son come together in the hospital, and they kind of bond, and it looks like they might be able to go forward, but then they have a big disagreement about how they should handle her treatment, and it's just like they never can seem to get together. You know, like, they always, it seems like they want to, but they can't. And like I said, I like those kind of stories, and, you know, this being set obviously in, like, a, you know, a magic user fantasy background, you know, that's kind of stuff I like anyway. So I thought this was a pretty cool book. I am interested in reading forward, so I will pick up the next one and see where it goes. So I do recommend it. I think it was pretty cool. The art was really good. It was stylized. You know, it was not necessarily, and I say quote-unquote realistic, because none of this is realistic, but it definitely had a style. You know, it had a style to it, more of like an animation style.
Right.
But I enjoyed it. I thought the writing was good, and I thought the art was good. So cool. Go pick out Excellence Number One.
Cool. All right. My first is Batman and the Outsiders, Volume 1, or first issue. Writer Brian Hill, artist Dexter Soy. Mm-hmm. Lesser Gods Part 1 is what it's titled. I saw it on the shelf. I grabbed the variant cover, and I really enjoyed it. I can't believe I bought yet another Batman story. Yeah. Like, I don't know. What am I up to, like, 4 or 5 now we're reading?
Yeah, but I would argue this isn't really a Batman story.
No, it's not. It's not. Well, he's in it, but yeah.
He's in it, but... It's definitely not a Batman story, per se.
Did you read this one?
I did.
Okay. So, yeah, it isn't a Batman story. He's kind of guiding the Outsiders.
Right.
And he basically is challenging them to get their stuff together.
Right.
I liked the story. I really, really liked the art.
I was going to say, I loved the artwork. I don't know who that artist is, but I really enjoyed the art in that
book. Although, I did notice, and this was, I saw this, I did notice the feet aren't very good.
Oh, so Rob Liefeld syndrome?
Yeah, I was, well, I thought of Mr. McPhee on page, what is it, like 4 or 5, uh-huh. maybe even 6. The bottom, it looks like totally, like they just kept drawing. Like when I was, right. it's like, okay, squared off feet, there you go, there's some feet.
And we're going to cut off the bottom of the panel.
But they didn't. They actually yeah. put the foot over another panel. And like I was just like, ugh. But I thought of Mr. McPhee, and I was just like, I started cracking up. And we keep mentioning Mr. McPhee. And now, you know, after talking to you today, you just realized his first name is?
It is John, right? I had no idea.
You had no idea, and it's the same name as you.
Yeah, but I never knew what his first name was. It was always just Mr.
Yeah. Mr. McPhee, you know, was our art teacher in high school.
Yeah.
And he was more than an art teacher. I mean, this wasn't just like a typical art class, because we were in, what, senior year? We were in like 4 art classes,
because
we
yeah, were going to be art majors. Well, in all of your high school, really. I had Mr. Crowley my freshman year.
Yeah, and that, and you then took I freshman I had art. And yeah, then after Mr. that, McPhee, it was McPhee the rest of the way.
For the rest of the way, and like every art class I took, he was right. the teacher. Yeah, so, yeah, great guy, great teacher, a lot of fun in all those classes.
And but, his first name was Mr. to you.
Yeah, but his first name was Mr. I had no idea.
Yeah, he popped up on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. We'll talk about more of that later. But yeah. he liked one of our things, and he actually commented on something. And
that's where like, I saw it. And I was like, oh.
His name's John
McPhee. Yeah.
It's funny. I'm known even through high school, being, you know, we're artists, I learned how to forge his signature. Oh. So, and it's, I could probably still do it now. It's like, it started with a J.
Right.
So it was a J and then McPhee, and I could forge his signature. He actually caught me in the hall once with a hall pass signed
with
his
name on it.
And he was like, I don't remember signing this. And I looked at him and went, you didn't. It was, so we're art majors. So what are you right. what do you expect? But yeah, so yeah, Mr. McPhee wouldn't be too happy with the footwork and this, I mean, it's not all throughout. There's some good. I just yeah. noticed on a couple of footwork, but the artwork is very, very.
Yeah,
good.
I was just saying that's funny because I really didn't bump into that either. I guess I didn't notice that. But
it's only in a few places. It just I don't yeah. know why it jumped out at me. It just did on one particular page, you know. And I was like, I don't know if I was looking for it or what, but
kind but of like the way Matt, you know, people wearing their masks jumps out to me. You know, things just bump into you when you're not expecting them. You know,
exactly.
Doesn't make you a bad person, DJ. It just
yeah.
means,
or how know. Batman's cape is always flowing in the wind.
Right when there's no wind.
Well, it is a comic,
but
no.
you know, even when he's inside.
Yeah. I thought the use of light was really good. They had some really good explosions. It's like, you know, turn the page type things where it really jumped out at you, and the darks and the lights. It's so well done. You want to flip through it and just look at the art part. So,
right.
And, so that was my first one, Batman and the Outsiders. If you're not already reading a bunch of Batman, this really isn't, Batman, but
yeah, it's not, it's really an outsider story.
Yeah. And, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, I liked it. All right, so
I'm excited for this one, to hear this one from you, because I didn't get this one today.
Yeah, because I noticed this morning you put out a tweet saying there was only one War of the Realms book this week,
and
which
I'm
was Journey into Mystery.
Yeah, that's the only one they gave me, and I signed up for everything. So either they didn't like. There's so many of them,
right?
That I, you know, it's easy for me to. I'm not in the store all day long, so I don't know. I wish I had known. I mean, going forward, you and I should double check on Tuesday so I know to make sure I get it. Because my Wednesday mornings now are, I get to the store, they don't open till 9. I get there at 8. They're there doing some other stuff. So I get my books, I go to the parking lot, and I read War of the Realms right away.
Right.
And I was really disappointed, but actually now I'm kind of excited to hear about it. I'm going to have to go and grab it tomorrow and knock some heads around.
Yeah, but, yeah. So, hey, guys. Especially since this was the big overship book, you'd think they were trying to get this into your hands.
Yeah, I don't know what happened on that one. So yeah, I apologize for this morning, but you're getting your update right now. What do we got?
Right. So War of the Realms, New Agents of Atlas. This is issue 1 of a 4-issue series. Obviously, this is tied into the War of the Realms. And this one, while it does definitely take place in the events of what's going on in War of the Realms, I still don't know that this is going to be a necessary tie-in as far as the main storyline for War of the Realms. But this definitely takes place, like, it's happening right while everything else is happening. Because these characters are really interacting with Cinder and all the fire, you know, the fire elementals and stuff that are taking over. Basically, like the Eastern Realm, like the Asian part of the world. I don't know how to say that right. But, and all these characters are kind of interacting there. So this is where we meet Wave and, let's see, I actually have it right here. There's a character called Crescent and Luna Snow. And it looks like these are the new characters. But in addition to those, we have Amadeus Cho, who we've known as the Totally Awesome Hulk. Kamala Khan, who's Miss Marvel. We got Shang-Chi, the Master of Kung Fu. Silk, which is Cindy Moon. So there's a lot of characters that we are familiar with, but then there's all these new characters that are being introduced. Cool. So there's a character called Jimmy Woo, and he basically runs the Agents of Atlas. And I kind of equate him to Nick Fury in a way.
I was like, just going to say, yeah.
So he's basically, we meet him and he's trying to recruit Miss Marvel and Silk and Amadeus Cho into the Agents of Atlas. Because they're really all in the Champions comic book. Kamala Khan is the leader of the Champions. And he's trying to get him into the Agents of Atlas. And, you know, we meet in the very beginning, we meet Wave. She's basically what Wave, I guess, is supposed to be known as a pretty powerful character, even though we don't really get to see too much of her powers or abilities in this book. But she's been lured away by Cinder. Like, they've kind of lured her away, her and this arrow. Her name's not written down here, but the arrow character. They're trying to get her out of the way so they can go into like the Philippines and they can take over. They don't want to have to deal with these two dudes. So they get them out of the way and they're kind of off on this goose chase.
Yeah.
While they're taking over. So when these people hit Jimmy Woo finds out about it. So he gets all the Champions guys and they're going to fight Cinder and trying to do that. And then while that's going on, our other two, Wave and the other girl, they kind of run into two of the fire elementals and they basically are letting them know, hey, we've basically just shanghaied you out of the way so that Cinder could go do their thing. And that's kind of where it ends. But as much as this is billed as the first appearance of these new characters, and it, you know, obviously it is their first appearance, you don't get to see much of them. Like, you don't see much of Wave,
really?
And you don't see much of Arrow. They're kind of on the first page and a half, and then they're on the last page and a half.
This How's book the story, really, though?
That's what I'm saying. This book, the story's good, but this book really focuses, at least on issue one, with the characters that we kind of already know. Shang-Chi and Cindy Moon and all those characters. I think we'll get to see these other characters as the series progresses.
Okay.
But in this issue,
how many,
you didn't really
how many
get to
issues
meet them
is
too much.
Series?
It's just four issues.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but like I said, this, you know, this definitely takes place in the events of War of the Realms, because Cinder is one of the...
Yeah, it sounds like, from your description, they're off, like you said, in the Philippines. So, like, if you look at the map, every issue has the map on it.
Right,
and so they're probably down in the lower right corner.
Yeah,
and
different areas of the world are being invaded
by different
people from the realms, all, you know, kind of being led by Malekith and all the stuff
Malekith's
taken
off.
Right.
Yeah, Earth.
So this kind of seems like this is going to be the story that surrounds this part of the invasion.
Right.
And so while it may not have any big implications on the overall story, definitely going to be interesting to find out, like, what's happening in these battles. And like, because in the main story, you're probably just going to find out they get defeated, you know, down there. But you won't really get the whole story about what happened.
Right.
So.
But it sounds like, for instance, Well, we'll get back to that afterwards. I'll do mine, and then I got my War of the Realms of the Week, and we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
So my last one is a real fun one that I just grabbed because I love the look of it, and you could probably speak more to it and what they're doing here, but Slade was like, oh, yeah, they're issuing this. It's the Marvel feature, presents the Defenders. It's basically the reissue.
Yeah, it's a facsimile edition.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, you know, it's got Hulk on the cover. It's, you know, jumping forward. It's very, very colorful, old school look. And then I picked it up and I looked at it and I'm like, I'm flipping it. And like the first page on the back of the cover, it's got the old school ads from like when we were kids. And it's got like, you know, X-ray glasses for 95 cents. It's so it the story was it's an older story, but. It read very, it just was very nostalgic. That's why I liked it. It's got all the old ads in it. It's got, the only thing it doesn't have, and I was, and this is going to sound really silly, it's not, it's on better stock than when we were kids. It, you know, it's not on like the newsprint.
Right.
And,
So yeah, Marvel's been doing, they've done several of these facsimile editions over the last year or so. The last one they did was Amazing Spider-Man 252, which is the first black suit. Prior to that, they did the Hulk 181, which is the first Wolverine. So yeah, these are really cool because, like you said, other than the paper stock that they're printed on, and obviously the cover price on the cover says $3.99, whereas
it was $4.99
or $4.99. Back then it was probably a buck, or actually back that one was probably 15 cents or whatever.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're exact reproductions of the originals.
Right.
And that's really cool because we get reprint comics all the time. Like they do True Believers and different things where they reprint older books, but they don't include all the old ads and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see these books. I didn't check out that one yet specifically, but it was fun. I don't own a Hulk 181 and not sure that I will anytime soon unless somebody brings one in to sell me.
Yeah.
But being able to look through that facsimile edition was really awesome. And then the Spider-Man 252, you know, I've owned that several times. So that was more just like a walk down memory lane because I got to kind of look at it again. So
yeah, and
they're really awesome.
Yeah, they are. They're, and like for me, who I don't have a lot, I mean, the one I have framed hanging up is an old Marvel Tales. It's the Spider-Man with Kraven.
Right.
And it's 153. But that's like a real, that's the old one.
Right.
And with the, and I mean, it's not worth anything, but it's, I think I bought it a few years ago for like $5 online. But yeah, it was just so much fun to look at and look, I had as much fun looking through the ads.
Right.
And then reading the story, it's got all of the old, you know, language and I mean, it's
the
written
artwork
by Stan Lee and the artwork
and
everything. Well, Stan Lee is the editor. Ray Thomas was the writer.
Right.
Artist is Ross Andrew.
Ross Andrew, yeah. Roy Andrew. Thomas. Yeah.
Roy Thomas?
Roy, yeah.
Okay. So, all right. That was fun. War of the Realms this week.
Yeah.
So, Journey into Mystery 2. I wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
So you read the first one.
I did.
So they go on their little Winnebago trip.
Right.
To protect the baby.
Yes.
And this one is it's really flat. It's a lot like I said on Twitter this morning. I'm hoping it's just it's going to pick up. And it seems to be just a lot of backstory for basically what some new characters. Did you read this one?
No,
yeah,
not yet.
You haven't read this one? Okay, so there's just some, they're adding in some new characters, not unknown characters, just new characters to the story. There's a slight twist, but it's like if you're already reading it, you have to read it because if you're gonna read three.
Yeah, I'll read it for sure.
It's just not, you know, if this was the first book, I wouldn't have recommended this tangent. But, you know, it wasn't my favorite.
Okay.
But what I was going to say before is, so this one, the one you just read, the Agents of Atlas.
Right.
Was that, do you feel like that tangent was like, remember what we talked about Punisher? The Punisher tangent, which is like, literally, you really don't have to read that.
Right.
It's because it's not even a battle, per se.
Right.
Or it doesn't seem to be. But the one you read, like Agents of Atlas, just off your description, sounds like it's another battle that it would be good to keep up with.
I think this one's going to be more of a fill-in-the-blanks kind of series.
Okay.
Where it, again, won't hurt you necessarily if you don't read it, but it's going to give you more backstory and more information if you do read it. Whereas, like you said, the Punisher one, you know, you might be able to skip altogether, and it, even that wouldn't give you any answers. Like I said, this is probably going to explain the, you know, when you read the War of the Realms, and I don't, obviously we don't know how it's going to end, but you know, we're probably just going to find out that Cinder was defeated in the Pacific
right.
Rim, you know, and that'll be all we get. And, you know, and if that's all you read, that might be all you need to know. But
right.
I think this is just going to fill in the blanks, like I said.
Okay.
You're going to get to see that battle. You're going to get to see all those things.
Okay.
So I think it's – I definitely think it's worth the read because, you know, like I said, you might just get some things that you wouldn't get without it. But, well, obviously you're going to get some things you wouldn't get without it. Otherwise,
right.
It wouldn't be worth reading. But I, again, I don't think it's going to be mandatory reading as far as
okay.
following the main story.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Did you read anything else? Did you read any other Batman this week? 1003 Detective Comics.
No, I didn't get to Detective. Like I said, I picked up Batman and the Outsiders. That's all I got a chance to read today.
Okay.
And I read the two free comic book day books that I talked
okay.
about earlier.
Right, right.
So
okay. Detective Comics is good. It's going very well.
I've already seen the spoiler, though. So.
Yeah. I
wasn't happy about that, but.
Yeah, I couldn't believe they tweeted that out.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, I won't tell you what it is, but
right.
obviously John knows, but I don't know why they would do that.
Well, I saw it on a spec site, so, I mean, I guess you'd kind of take that with a grain of salt, because if you're on spec sites, you know, something might get spoiled, but the comments
No, I saw it on Twitter yesterday.
You did, right, but that's not where I saw it.
Right.
I saw it on a spec web Facebook page, but even still, you could have put that in the comments. You didn't have to lead your story with it. Because
right.
I couldn't avoid it if I wanted to. Like, it was right there.
Right.
I couldn't have missed it. But, you know, I follow those site. You know, I follow those groups so I can have information for the podcast and obviously for my store. So it's just kind of cost of doing business. Sometimes
yeah.
you're going to get spoiled.
No, but I...
You know,
like
honestly,
I said,
being a
I
retailer,
saw it
I get spoiled all the time anyways. Because I read solicits
right.
to order and I get spoiled. So... I
right.
just kind of take that as part of being a retailer.
Part of the
but,
business, yeah.
But, yeah, it's weird that, you know, they tweeted that out or that they put it out early because it does take away from reading the book.
Well, if you haven't read the book, it doesn't really – it's literally on page 2.
Oh, okay.
So it's fairly soon.
Not a lot of build-up to it.
No, not at all.
Well, but they did the build-up in the previous 3 issues. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yes.
So.
And so, right. So, but I was very surprised that I saw the picture tweeted
yeah.
out on Tuesday.
Right.
So, and Batman Who Laughs is rolling right along. Very
yeah.
good.
So they just announced an extra issue for that. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
But yeah, it's going to 7
Excellent.
Issues now. Yeah.
Oh.
So I guess the story's running a little bit longer than they planned. So that's cool. That's good news.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like a lot of these I have to read twice anyways, so
right.
might as well take an extra book to keep explaining.
Exactly.
A lot of talk that there's going to be more anyways. From fan talk, I'm saying. Like, people are saying, why don't we just keep doing, why, you know, do
oh.
another series.
This definitely isn't going to be the last.
Same with the Grim Knight.
Yeah, it's not going to be
yeah.
the last we see of this character. He's super popular, so
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see an ongoing series at some point. Or
yeah,
definitely more involvement in the DCU.
Yeah. All right, that was it. So, all right, let's talk some Iron Man.
Okay.
Truth is, I am Iron Man.
What do you want to know?
What? All right, when did you first, like, what was your impressions of Iron Man when you were a kid?
Wasn't my favorite, you know. I've been reading Iron Man for a long time. I started reading Iron Man back in probably the early 80s. You know, when I really got into comics, I read I bought every comic. You know,
yeah.
I would go and buy every new issue off the stands, and I wasn't super picky about the main characters. Like, if it was Marvel or DC, I bought it and I read it. So
yeah.
I've read Iron Man for as long back as I can remember reading comics. The first valuable comic book I ever owned was Iron Man number 1.
Oh, really?
I bought it at a comic book store for $15. I'll never forget that I got it for $15. Even at the time, that was a good deal. It wasn't the best condition copy in
yeah.
the world. And at the time, it wasn't Iron Man number 1, even in great condition, was probably only worth $100. I mean, he was never a really big character.
Yeah.
You know, and never really super valuable. But, you know, now that book is worth, you know, even in the condition I had, it's probably worth $300. So, but yeah, so I, like I said, I've read Iron Man for a long time. Long back as I can remember.
Yeah, I read Iron Man, but not consistently. I didn't read really anything consistently.
Right.
Spider-Man, I would try to stay consistent with it, but I didn't have the everything I read. I had to ride up with my own money and buy, and you know,
right.
So whether I had the money or not when I was a kid. So a lot of my choosing was basically kind of like how I picked the Defenders this week. Like, it jumped right off the shelf at me, you know. And Iron Man often did jump off the shelf. I just the way he was drawn,
right.
And so a lot of my stories are like hitting shuffle on your CD player. It's like
right.
I just read a story and be like, oh, that was kind of cool. So when that was my childhood for comics, other than me just trying to draw them,
right?
But I always liked the idea. I've always liked the idea of Iron Man. Like, it almost like it's a different take on Batman, more colorful take. You know, it's a rich guy with a suit.
Right.
And you know, smart, rich guy with the suit and the technology.
Right.
And clearly not as dark. It's the bright side of Batman.
Right. Well, there's definitely some parallels in the alter egos, like with Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne. I think the characters themselves are, you know, definitely different. They're on different paths.
Yeah.
You know, but Tony Stark and Bruce Wayne, there's lots of similarities you can put to those two.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think about how the MCU has done with the character of Tony Stark?
Well, I think they did a pretty good job of capturing Tony Stark. I think that the comic book Tony Stark is more arrogant than the movie Tony Stark. Even though Robert Downey Jr., at least in the early movies, you know, he was arrogant, you know, and he did play that off. But you never really heard him referring to himself as the smartest guy in the room all the time. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't boast as much about his intelligence and things like that. In the comics, he very much does. Like, he makes a point to tell everybody he runs into that he's the smartest guy in the room, and seems to have a bigger ego in the comics than he does on screen. But overall, I think the similarities are pretty good. Like, Robert Downey Jr., you know, and obviously I say this in hindsight after seeing him play Tony Stark for, you know, 10 years, but I mean, he is Tony Stark. You know, even if you looked at the old drawings of Tony Stark from the comics before the MCU started. Like, you could see Robert Downey Jr. there. Like, nowadays in the comics, they kind of tailor his look to look more like Robert Downey Jr. But back then, Robert Downey Jr. looked like Tony Stark. So.
Yeah, I thought the casting of Robert Downey Jr. was just, it was amazing. And I think before the movie came out, when we first heard about Robert Downey Jr., I don't think anybody, it wasn't like with, you know, Ben Affleck and Batman. Everybody was like, well, of course. It just seemed right. And then seeing him on the screen, and then the whole entire, it's almost like Robert Downey Jr. has the same story arc too.
Right.
It being, you know, the issues he's had, you know, in his past with, you know, drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, he's definitely, he's definitely Tony Stark. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, very cocky kid, you know, had his issues, very much like Tony Stark. And then, you know, look at what he's done with his career since then. Look what Tony Stark has done with his career since then.
Right.
So, I mean, it's funny how life is imitating the art right there, and that the art was invented back in, what was it, 60-something?
63 Iron Man came out, yeah.
Right. So, for Robert Downey Jr. to almost, like, mirror that lifestyle, it's pretty crazy that he ends up playing that lifestyle.
Right.
The only other person I thought would have been better, and it would be have to be later, would have been Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, well, that was after the Tiger Blood incident.
Right, exactly.
But, I think MCU Tony Stark is a little bit more humanitarian, I guess. I'm trying to think of the right word, but sympathetic and more human than Tony Stark from the comics. Like I said, in the comics, he's much more arrogant, you know, much more out for himself, it seems. You know, obviously he's Iron Man, so he's the hero.
Right.
But, you know, the line in Endgame that Tony's dad gives him where he says, "The greater good seldom outweighed my self-interest."
Right.
That's Tony in the comics to a T.
Right.
You know.
And that's what I was going to say, is a lot of the stuff in the movies, it's the way they, and not just with his character, but with a lot of the characters, it's taken from the comics. Right. It's like, if you look back on any of the old comics, you're going to see parts of these characters in there. And a lot of, like, what was the one? Oh, in this Defenders that I just read, this is a small tangent, but in this Defenders, you know the scene in Thor, Ragnarok, when Loki, they come back to New York to find their father, and Doctor Strange puts Loki into, like, that free fall for, like, he was in there for, what did he say, like, I was in there for, like, 3 hours or something, and then he finally pulls him out when they're back at the mansion, whatever, there. And that scene is in this Defenders.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's actually somebody's, like, I have it right here. It's like, what is it? He was doomed, whatever. And he was basically, a character was falling for a long time, and it was just in a universe, like, just falling and falling and falling. And it was described in here. And as I'm reading it, I was like, that's the scene in Ragnarok.
Right.
And it's like, they took that right out of there. But they do the same thing with Tony. And a lot of, throughout his movies, they're taking parts of the comics and they're putting them in, like you said, with the, like, they didn't necessarily make him an alcoholic in the movies, but he started out as a, you know, a heavy drinker, womanizer. Right. They gave you glimpses of it.
Right. But, you know, it was more that playboy lifestyle that he's living up in the movies. I don't think they ever really got to the depths of saying, like, he was an alcoholic. And, like, they never brought him that
he did
low.
Whiz in the suit. There we go. Yeah. He went to the bathroom in the suit.
But there you go. But they never brought him that low in the movies. You know, he hit rock bottom in the comics, you know, at one point. That's really why Rhodey becomes Iron Man in the comics. It's because Tony you know, right. Tony's, you know, he's not able to do the job. He's an alcoholic.
Right.
And
but what's funny is, so by that same token, we have, so since 63 to now, you have Iron Man stories, but yet that one, you can almost say that that scene in Iron Man 2, when Rhodey takes the suit, that entire scene encompasses that storyline. They can't do the whole story, but do you see how that kind of mirrors that storyline? It's like he hits rock bottom, he's drinking, he's destroying his house, he's wetting his suit, and he literally fights Rhodey. Rhodey takes over and takes the suit.
Right.
End that story arc right there. You know what I mean? And it also plays into the MCU, but it also is kind of a homage.
Right.
An homage to that story arc.
Right. Yeah, like I said, there's definitely parts of it there. I just, and, you know, I don't know that they needed to do this in the MCU because I don't know how low we wanted to take him. But, like, his drinking has been an issue in the comics, you know, ever since it was introduced back. I don't know when that right. storyline really hit, sometime in the 80s. But, like, yeah. even to the point where in a recent comic, and I don't even remember which one because, you know, he shows up in a million different comics that I read. But at one point, there was, like, a celebration happening, and they even made mention that, you know, Tony, he was with Shuri. I can't remember what it was, but somebody made a comment, well, let's get a drink and a steak or something, and Shuri says, well, I'm a vegan and he's an alcoholic or something like that.
Oh, really?
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're still making reference to it. Like, it's still right. something that he deals
I've
with in
I've always
comics.
Known him as that.
Yeah.
I never read him not being that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if he, it had to be sometime in the 80s or
right, it was. And that was like, as I said, it was a really big storyline. There's a couple of famous covers where, you know, he's depicted as being, you know, drunk and hungover and, you know, really going through the, you know, really hitting rock bottom. And I think it was the mid-80s when that storyline
yeah.
took place.
Yeah, so what do you think of the whole Pepper Potts thing? In that, in the comics, they weren't an item.
Well, yeah, so in the, you know, in the MCU, obviously we know Pepper's is the love of his life, and they get married eventually and have Morgan, but in the comics, that's not the case. Like, she was really just more of a confidant, more of a, like her...
Well, basically what she was in the first two movies.
Right. Right, but even still, even then, you knew there was, like, an attraction. Like, they had this on-again, off-again kind of flirt,
well,
flirty thing going.
Doesn't he say in the first one that it's always been you?
Yeah.
Or is that the second one?
When oh,
he
I
gives
don't,
her,
yeah.
Whenever he
Might
gives,
be
I think it's
one.
The second one when he, it's always been you.
Right.
It's all, you're all I got. Or no, he said that to her in the first one when she pulled out the,
Yeah, pulled out the thing.
Yeah, and he's like, all I got is you. It's right. only you. But then in the second one, he says it's only you. It's right. it's always been you when he signs over the company.
Right. So, you know, in the comics, she's more like his Alfred. You know, she's just kind of his confidant and his...
Right.
You know, his best friend, basically. But there would never really, at least that I can remember, a big romantic couple in
yeah.
the comics. So... You know, again, they, you know, they do things in the movies for entertainment. Of course, I mean, comics, it's all entertainment, but, but,
really?
You know, they advance the story. Yeah. They advance the stories in different ways, but it didn't bother me at all. Like, it's a logical step forward, you know, in the movies. You
yeah.
know, it's, you could definitely see that happening. But, you know, in the comics, he's, well, even in the movies, like, they played him up as a bit of a womanizer, at least in the first couple of movies in the
oh, yeah.
movies.
Well,
he's always
kind of how
that.
He opens the
right.
first movie with him
but
and
he's all, well, and then they sort of, you know, his
and Pepper
arc.
Pepper takes out the trash.
Yeah, he transforms, you know, through the movies.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest difference. Like, you have, I don't know, there was 22 MCU movies, and I don't know how many of them he actually appeared in. Let's say it was, like, 8. You know, I don't, who knows? He evolved, right? Like, he started out as that playboy, alcoholic, womanizer, character in the first couple of Iron Man movies. But by the end of this, in Endgame, he's like the family man, and he's willing to sacrifice himself for the greater good and all this stuff. And he has that evolution in, you know, 8 movies. He hasn't made that leap in 50 years of comics. Like, in the comics, he's still more, still the playboy, the womanizer.
Yeah, the comics are ongoing.
Right.
Yeah.
So we haven't seen that arc through the comics yet where he's really come full circle. And like you said, we may never, because the comics, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Has he died in the comics?
I have no idea. I really don't know.
So the reason I'm asking that is kind of twofold.
I don't think so, though.
Right.
I don't think so.
The MCU had a clearly a story arc, and I would say I would say that this Infinity Saga is the Tony Stark story arc, beginning to end. All the other characters obviously are still pretty much going on, but he dies at the end, so you needed to round out that character,
right?
Whereas in the comics, if he hasn't died, you're not rounding anything out. You still have stories to tell the following month.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't think we might not ever see that evolution in the comics because, you know, we've mentioned this many times. You know, decades go by in our real-world time, but these comics stay the same. You know,
right.
The characters stay 30 years old forever.
Right.
You know, Bruce Wayne has been 32 for 80 years, you know, so...
Right.
And like I said, characters just don't evolve that much through the comics. And, you know, you would think that they would, because how many issues has Tony Stark been in the comic? Like, he's been in, you know, a million pages of comics. You know, who even knows what the number is. So much more time to evolve that character in print than he ever had on screen. But yet, on screen, they made that evolution of him, where in the comics, they probably never will. Until they get to the point where they're ready to write him down and maybe they're going to be done with him.
Exactly.
And they'll give him his kind of ride off into the sunset. And maybe he will settle down. Because again...
It's very similar to Batman and Selina.
Right.
Bruce and Selina. If they got together, it's like, what happens?
Exactly. And I know we mentioned it when we talked about Endgame, but... You know, Tony Stark doesn't have a daughter. Like, he's never in the comics had a child, had a wife. And so, you know, we saw some of those things in the movies that we've never seen in the comics. And we may get there at some point in the comics, but we may not. We may never see those characters.
Right.
So, later on, or
Well, I think if they used Pepper in the comics, it would just be like you're just redoing the movie,
right?
It's like, you know what I mean. It's like the movies. That's what's fun about these movies, whether it's the, you know, MCU or the DC version, DC universe, whatever they're calling it these days. They're taking parts, like we just said a few minutes ago, and they're sculpting their own stories. From what we know. So people that, no matter how into a character you are, you're going to be entertained and amazed by a different storyline that you don't already know.
Right.
But it is funny, like, in, when we said we're going to do this, I was like looking back and like, I didn't know this, but he did used to be, have his own, secret identity. Tony Stark and Iron Man early in the comics were separate.
Right.
And Iron Man was, from the first Iron Man, a bodyguard.
Right.
That was the line at the end of the movie. And he says, I don't know if this bodyguard thing is going to play.
Right.
Remember when they were giving him his lines?
Yeah.
But that's what it was in the comics for years before before he came out as. I didn't know that. I didn't read that part.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he was. Did you read that?
I knew that.
Did you read it early enough?
Yeah. I remember reading back then where he was still basically had a secret identity and not everybody knew he was Tony. I don't remember when that came out or why it came out. And how it might have been even after I was out of comics for a while when that happened, because I don't necessarily remember that happening while I was reading. So
yeah,
you know, I like you, I got out of reading comics for years and years when my kids were younger, and
yeah,
you know, I didn't get.
Oh,
back
so what happened? That, see, it's funny because when I read it when I was younger. And now I look back now at the information I have now, I think I'm filling in this information with then when maybe he did have, because I laughed in the, when I saw Iron Man about the bodyguard line.
Right.
So maybe, I don't know, I thought I hadn't read that. I probably did, but I just didn't.
Yeah, I think back when I was reading back then, I think he always had that secret identity. I don't remember when that came out publicly. And I don't know if it's on this. I'd have to really read deep on this thing to see if I could find that, and it's probably not worth the trouble to do that.
No, that's not. So, when was the last time you saw any of the movies? I watched all three this week.
The last time I saw any of the Iron Man movies?
Yeah.
I haven't in quite a while, actually.
What do you think of the movies?
Love the first one, obviously. The second one, to me, honestly, is all but forgettable, because if I had to sit here right now and tell you anything about it, I really can't. Like, it's been that long since I've seen it, and I don't really remember it all that much. Three, I remember a little bit more. Two was the Whiplash one, right?
Whiplash,
yeah. So, I mean, I remember that much of it, but I don't know, it didn't stand out for me. Like, I don't think it's a great movie. And three,
well,
I like
more. Well,
that's
got the callback to the hammer tech that he had. And, like, that was in the comics. Whiplash, obviously. Right. You have it. There's some Easter eggs in there that's coming up that, you know, for later on in the MCU.
They went down from one. For me, one was the best, and they went downhill from there.
Well, they have to. Well, for me personally, Iron Man's one of my favorite in the MCU.
Right.
I really enjoyed 2 and 3, and I do remember thinking at the end of 3, I was seeing it in the theater, I was disappointed. And almost every time I've seen it since, I'm disappointed, because we all knew that when that came out, it was the last Iron Man movie.
Right.
And it was a little bit more disappointing at that time, because we didn't know about Civil War. We didn't know how much more Iron Man we were going to get.
Right.
And come to find out, it's pretty much every movie has featured him.
Yeah, we got quite a bit of Iron Man, even without Iron Man movies.
Right.
And that's why I think, honestly, he's been better. Like, he's been better in everything except his own movies. Except for the first one. You know what I mean? Like, I think he was much better in all the Avengers than he ever was in Iron Man 2 or 3.
What do you mean he was better? I loved the character.
I guess the movies were better.
Oh, like, the movies. Yeah.
But I mean, his story, his story, his movies, even his arc was better in all the other movies that weren't called Iron Man, I think.
Yeah. I have Iron Man 3 pretty low in the MCU, but I still really enjoy the movie. I mean, the lowest MCU movie is still a really good movie to me in the span, like if you compare it to all other movies. But,
right, well, we've said that before.
Right,
know.
But what I'm saying is, like, Iron Man 3, I think, having seen it, that's what's so much fun about Endgame now, is you go back and watch any of these movies, and you're going to start, like, watch Iron Man 3, and there's another tangent on possibility on how Tony Stark could still be alive.
Right.
Because in Iron Man 3... he's working with that woman, the botanist. He solves her issue on how you can regenerate.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the movie, it was in Pepper. And he solves it to get it out, to cure her.
Right.
So he knows how to, you could literally explode him and he would be fine, as they did to multiple characters in that movie, and they lived through it.
Right.
So it's like, if he had that think of all the technologies in his movies, and there's ways that he could still be alive.
There's definitely ways that he could be.
I'm not saying he's alive.
No, but I mean, I know what you're saying, though, living on in as an AI or something like that. But
that's another possibility.
The more I think about that, the more I would rather not see that. Like, I think I'm happy with the way he ended. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I think anything they do to bring him back in the future cheapens what we got in Endgame. Just my opinion. Like, the more I think about it, the more I would rather him just... Like, I really just want him to be done.
Be gone.
Yeah, be gone.
But that's part of the fun of him being gone, though, I really believe, is us speculating on whether he's going to come back.
Sure.
That is part of the fun, you know what I mean? If we all just went, okay, he's gone. It's the speculation of if he's going to come back. But I do agree with you. If 10 years from now he never comes back and we just look at it and go, oh, that was, it's still a great movie.
Right.
It's a great ending to that story, that character. Obviously lives on in the comics.
Right.
But,
well, and Tony Stark himself as a character is arrogant enough that he would want to cheat death and would want to go on.
That's my point.
So it makes sense that way. I just would prefer it doesn't happen. Like, I would prefer not to see that.
There's so many lines, though. Like, just going back to Avengers, when he's like, there's, you know, when Steve and him are arguing, and Steve's like, there's always a way out.
Right.
And he's, that is Tony Stark.
Right.
He's always looking for another way. And as you said, like, in the comics, he's way more arrogant. Right. That's why he probably hasn't died. It's fun, and that's, you know, that's the idea of a comic book death, is that we sit here and speculate whether they live on or not.
Well, right, because we all know nothing stays permanent in comics or even in movies, so.
Right.
Like I said, he could definitely be back. There's no guarantee that he won't be. But I guess to go back to what you were saying earlier, you know, I don't watch these movies nearly as much as you do. Like, I can't even remember the last time I watched Iron Man 3, to the point where I don't even really remember them all that well. I just really remember not being too excited with either one of them.
Right.
When they ended. I remember being very disappointed that the Mandarin wasn't actually the Mandarin the first time I saw it.
That was another thing I had for a subject.
Yeah, I was like, man, that's really a kick in the you know what, because I thought that was kind of crappy. But
see, I think they didn't want, and this is just me trying to look at the bright side of it. I think they didn't want to make the Mandarin a bigger villain than he could have been. Because that was the complaint at the time, is like, they took a really good villain and they watered him down.
Right.
But I think that by that point, they knew their end game, and they didn't need another big villain. They didn't need anything. They just wanted to tell the Iron Man story, another Iron Man story. There's things in there that play out later.
Right.
I think that they wanted to tell that story, and they didn't need another big villain. And if they, and a lot of people would say, well, why can't you have another big villain? Because they didn't want it to take away from the rest of the story. If you made a huge villain here, if you made the Mandarin who he was, it would probably take more than a movie.
Right.
You know, and they had more to tell. They had, that was the last Iron Man movie.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, could be. We, you know, again, this is now just you and I speculating.
That's what we do.
Right. But, yeah, I said I would argue still, like, I don't know that they necessarily knew their end game back when they did Iron Man 3, but they definitely knew they were building towards something. But I don't know that they still, I'm not sure how far back Endgame actually goes. You know what I mean?
Like, really?
I don't think this movie goes all the way back to the very beginning. I think Avengers 1 was their ultimate goal in the beginning, was to get there. And then once they got there, they realized that they were able to still keep going forward. But I think their goal initially was to get to Avengers 1. You know what I mean? And then they got there and realized that there was more they could do. But I don't know if 10 years ago they had this movie in their head already.
Maybe not, like, they probably didn't have this movie storyboarded, but I think they may have had a semblance of the MCU storyboarded out. Like, each movie, maybe, or an idea of like, this is what we want to do. Because if you look at, just look at Tony Stark and how he's evolved throughout the entire thing, you know, and he really was Iron Man 3 came out right after Avengers.
Right.
So if you think about it, it's like phase one was all Tony Stark, and then he started phase two.
Right.
And for all intents and purposes, his story was done. Then he was a character in other people's stories from then on out. So right. He really did start the entire story. But it's in Avengers, they'd already brought up Thanos. Right. We already knew he was coming. And you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think they just felt, you can't fall backwards into Endgame. They had to have known the way they I'd have to look at the chronological order of releases, but they had to have known. The only one I would say that I would agree with you is like Hulk. The Hulk movie, they did two Hulk movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
They didn't tie in at all to anything,
right.
Really.
Well, the first movie was doesn't count because it wasn't done by Marvel.
Right.
Iron Man was the first Marvel movie
right.
by Marvel
But after
Studios.
Iron Man 1 came the was the Hulk.
Was the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
And it was like, that really, what does that have in it to do with the rest of the MCU?
Nothing.
I'd have to watch it again. I haven't watched that one.
I haven't either,
months.
But I don't think it has anything to do with this story.
Yeah.
You know?
Other than Tony showing up at the end.
Right.
Which
really could have just been pigeonholed into the end of that, you know?
Well, yeah, he obviously, well, if you think about it, though, it really isn't, because that's Tony. Okay, so a lot of people would say that might have saved the movie, because like by the end of Hulk, a lot of people didn't like that movie. But then you get your end credit scene of Tony Stark walking up to the general, and is it general? Is he a general?
General
Colonel?
Ross, yeah.
Yeah, General Ross, okay. Walking up to him, and now you're like, oh, this, you know, he's doing what Nick Fury did in Iron Man.
Right.
And that ties it all in, and you're like, yeah, this is awesome. They're bringing this all together.
Right.
But that also shows right there, second movie, you have General Ross and Tony Stark's relationship. They're already talking. And clearly, it's not like the first time they met each other. You know, so they're giving you that history that's going to play out all the way to the end, but it shows up in Ultron. So you see what I mean? Like, you don't fall backwards into that. Like, okay, this movie worked, so let's keep going. I think they had a plan, and that's what that, in a way, is what made, not in a way, that's probably what made them so successful. You know, whereas maybe the DC was like,
I'm not
like,
saying they didn't have a plan. You know, obviously, they, like you said, they have to plan these things out. I just don't know how far back it goes. Like, I don't think they had Endgame in mind when they got to, you know, when they made the Hulk and Iron Man 1. You know, I think I think their thoughts were like, maybe if these things work out, we'll get to an Avengers movie.
Right.
You know, and then and then three or four movies in, they start to realize, hey, they've got something. And
exactly,
you know,
yeah. Right. No, I can agree with that. That they're building towards something, but they don't know is
right.
This
Maybe
take
they didn't
off.
Know
but
what they
each
were building.
Brick,
right.
Each brick gives you another idea. Each scene we could build on this, and I'm sure a lot is done after the fact too. Because like when I've written stuff, done creative writing, you look back at previous chapters.
Right. That's
you've
what I'm saying. How much of
and
it
go?
Was,
wait a minute. I could tie this in here. You
right.
Go
how much of it was retrofitting, and how much of it was. Was planning ahead.
Right.
There had to be some of both. You know, obviously you don't get to Endgame without some planning ahead. But also I think, like you said, writers were looking back trying to see how they could
tie stuff
how
in.
They could tie things in. Because it's easy to layer things into movies knowing, well, this might never pay off, but just in case it does, we're going to put this in
of
here.
Of course.
You know.
Of course. Of course. Which is, that's what's so much fun about looking in the background of these things, and how the internet now, it makes it, there's stuff that if it's just you and I talking, we'll see what you saw and what I saw. But now through the internet, we get to see, I didn't see that, but such and such, Jeremy saw this, or Joe saw this, or Pete saw that. And you got, you know what I mean? It's like, it's really cool how we could create that. We have that now. Right. And they play into this.
Right.
Making these movies. But getting back to Tony Stark, it's that I think, like I said before, this entire thing, it's not even phase one, but the Infinity Saga.
Is
the Tony Stark story. And, you know, he's the founding member, the first member of the Avengers.
Right.
The first one recruited. You could argue.
Well, he's definitely.
You could argue Carol was the first one because Nick Fury got the idea of the Avengers from her.
Right. But again, how much was that retro? That's after the fact. No, you know what I mean?
But I'm going by story, though. I'm going by story. But. Because technically Nick Fury told Tony that he's not an Avenger.
Right.
At the end of Iron Man 1, he said, no, you don't fit.
Right.
Or was that Iron Man 2? I don't know.
Yeah, because I think Iron Man 1 is just where he says, have you ever heard of the Avengers
initiative
or something like that.
Right. No, yeah, so. that's the...
Or is that first Avenger? Now I'm confused. I don't even know. I think that was Iron Man, right?
Yeah, Iron Man was when they introduced Nick Fury.
Right.
At the end of Iron Man 2, he's sitting down. That's the one that had Black Widow in it.
Right.
And that my favorite Black Widow appearance is that first one. She was really good in that.
Yeah.
So Tony Stark was the first person that Nick Fury recruited.
Right.
I mean, he got the idea from Carol Danvers, her call sign, recruited Tony, and then after that, it was the Hulk, according to the story.
Right.
Was Bruce Banner was the next person they recruited. But at the same time, they were, if you go by the movies, like when Iron Man 2 ended, that was Thor. Thor's movie came right after that, because at the end of Iron Man 2, they go... Remember, Coulson leaves in Iron Man 2, has to go to New Mexico.
Hammer, right, they find the hammer in New Mexico or wherever it was.
So, I had watched Iron Man 2 way back when we were getting ready for Endgame, and you watch them in succession. And if you watch Iron Man 2 and then Thor in succession, those two movies are taking place. There's a period of time when those movies are overlapping.
Right.
So, you're thinking like, oh, Coulson just left. And now that's where Thor, he gets there and he leaves to go see the hammer, and they show you the scene of him coming in Thor.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So, like, if you go back and watch Iron Man 2, all that stuff that's going on, you know that Thor's already landed in New Mexico.
Right.
Which is kind of pretty cool.
Yeah, there's there's probably a lot of overlap when you look at. A lot of things were probably happening simultaneously in different parts of the
MCU.
World. But yeah.
Right. So, all right. Anything else?
No, I don't think so.
On Iron Man? Any other nuggets that you weren't happy with or anything else you think? No, I mean
With Iron Man or?
No, I don't want to get into anything else. Yeah, Iron Man, Tony Stark. Any other differences that you thought from the comics to the movies that you thought were different? Any other similarities that you really liked?
No, I mean, I think we touched on most of them. Like I said, I just think the MCU version of Tony Stark is the fully realized character, you know, whereas in the comics we just haven't gotten there yet. We're still in the, you know, in the early days of Tony Stark, even though he's been in comics for, what, you know, 60 years or whatever it is. But I feel like he's not the fully realized character that we get in the MCU.
Right.
But, I mean, I think we covered most of the similarities.
So they basically took the Playboy philanthropist, genius Playboy philanthropist, and they evolved him into a likable, you know, human character in the MCU. Whereas you can't do that in the comics because then you lose the character itself.
Right. Like, so,
you know, he is the character. It'd be like all of a sudden, like, Bruce Wayne goes on a comedy tour as a stand-up comedian. You'd be like, this doesn't make sense.
Right. We're just repeating what we already said. But right. And I understand the reasons why it is the way it is. I just think that's the difference. Like, I think that we see the fully matured Tony Stark throughout the movies that we hope we'll see at some point one day in the comic. You know what I mean? Or right. that maybe we never see it, but we hope someday he'll get there. You know?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, overall, I mean, I think he's a perfect character. Like, I think throughout the whole Marvel, you know, saga yeah. or whatever, like, he's definitely...
The MCU or the comics?
The comics. You know?
Yes.
I mean, I think he's, like, a perfect character. Like, he followed his arc exactly the way he should. You know, I think they did a great job with him. Some of the changes don't bother... Like, the changes don't bother me. Like, the Pepper, you know, relationship with Pepper doesn't bother me at all.
No.
The fact that we never really delved into the alcoholism or whatever, I don't think we needed to do that in the movies.
Well,
so,
they, again, similar to the other things, they touched on it.
Right.
And it's almost, you know, that was kind of like he solved it himself off screen.
Right. Exactly.
You know.
He went to Betty Ford between Iron Man 2 and Iron Man 3. And then,
yeah. It's... Well, I would say 1 and 2, maybe.
1 and 2. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right, because 2 is when he had the big breakdown.
Right, he had kind of like his...
With Rhodey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 is probably rock bottom, so...
Yeah, two in the middle of 2 is rock yeah. bottom.
So and between then, 2 and 3, he gets sober, does the 12 steps, you know, and then
right.
he goes on.
But I thought it was interesting, like, the reason they put him at rock bottom, too, was because the palladium was killing him.
Right.
And then... Obviously, they show you in Iron Man 2 is that they inject him. S.H.I.E.L.D. has the technology to actually... They actually helped him
right.
solve the problem. And then he comes up and invents the new element in Iron Man 2. And you right. remember, uses Cap's shield as the leverage
right.
to get to level out the whatever he's inventing
yeah,
there.
Yeah, who knows? We're not as smart as Tony Stark, so we don't know.
No. I don't think anybody's as smart as Tony Stark.
Or the writers that were writing him.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. We're going to wrap that up.
Yeah, I think so.
All righty. All right. Anything else this week?
I don't know. How long have we gone? 2 hours. No.
Over 2 hours.
No, I'm good.
All right. I got one last thing.
Okay.
Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah.
To all the moms. If we have any moms that are listening.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my mom. She founded The Bright Side.
Co-founded.
She founded. She's the one that taught me, like, hey, somebody's got it worse than you. Don't,
right.
you know, try to look at the bright side of stuff. And happy Mother's Day to my wife.
If she's
still listening.
She might not
podcast.
Listen anymore, huh?
She has to listen to me all the time. She listened right. early on. She listened to a lot of them. But yeah, so happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day to your mom. And what was the last thing you had? You've got something on a list there, I think.
Well, I was going to talk about, we've never once really talked about Game of Thrones, but I wanted to talk about the last episode of Game of Thrones. I'm not sure did you watch this week's episode?
Yeah, we're comic books, but if you want to hit it, we have lives.
Well, no, I didn't know if you had watched it, because I didn't want to spoil anything if you
nope,
haven't seen it.
We are up to date. This is the first time that Jen and I are actually watching. We binge watched off DVD up until now, right. So we're on season 8 to the minute.
I just kind of wanted to talk about how incredibly stupid everybody seemed to get at the last 30 minutes of this week's episode.
What do you mean?
Like, I just feel like all these characters acted so out of character and were just incredibly stupid. Like, you know, Jon Snow, they're leaving Winterfell and they're all marching the army on towards, I can't think of the city now, but you know where Cersei
King's
is.
King's
Landing, right. They're all marching towards King's Landing. The entire army's there. I don't really see the point of Daenerys and her, like, 8 guys getting on ships and having to travel ahead, you know, and be exposed.
Yeah.
You know, why not just travel with the army? What are you going to do when you get there early? because your army's not there, right?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
So that was really pretty stupid.
Pull over at a rest stop.
Exactly. second, like, you never heard of really maybe like scouting ahead. You're just gonna bang your fleet right into the ambush of guys shooting your dragons out of the sky. Like, that was really stupid. The fact that dragons can fly pretty high, so they just didn't fly
above.
You didn't
see a fleet of ships loaded with giant arrows.
That's right, right. Just, you know, kind of fly above, and then, you know, they shoot Rhaegal down out of the sky. Right, he gets a couple arrows and he goes down. And so Daenerys decides, well, the smart thing to do is going to be to fly straight towards them so they can all keep shooting at me. And then you think, well, she's doing that because at least she's going to burn the ships down. But she flies straight towards the ships and then just goes away. Like, they don't burn any of the ships down. They don't do anything. Like,
I don't want to drag this out, but I can relate to that. I have a temper. And I've been in fights
where I literally
would go and try to attack somebody in a fight, and I never threw a punch, never did it. But I got hit.
Right.
So that's the thing. Like, I took the arrow. So I can actually relate to that. You watched your other dragon die, which, by the way, I said on Twitter, I don't think that dragon's dead.
Well, maybe, maybe not. We don't know.
I have my own fan theory that dragon somehow survives. And when they lined up and she's sitting there and you see the dragon in the background sitting there, I think they're doing that to show, like, they're like saying, like, yep, we got one dragon left. See my one dragon, that entire scene, I was waiting for the second dragon to come up from behind them.
Right. But the
but
thing
it obviously
is,
never happened.
Saw how her, you know, her other baby just got shot out of the sky.
That was awful.
So, if I'm going to put myself at risk by flying straight towards you because my temper has got me so mad, I'm at least going to say Dracarys, and I'm going to burn that freaking ship down before I fly away.
Well, that's what I mean. Sometimes your anger. Yeah. And I understand. I agree with you on the scene, but I've done that. Everything you're describing, like, I literally got in a hockey fight a couple years ago, and people looked at me and went, you know you could throw a punch, right?
Right.
it was like, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. That was
all right,
dumb.
So then let's move to the scene you were just talking about. So I'm going to go with my eight guys, and I'm going to go march up to the front gates with Cersei, right? What kind of show of force is that? It's like I've got like eight guys here in a dragon who's far enough
eight
away
guys,
so I can't shoot
eight guys
shoot
and there's like 30 archers on the
exactly,
wall.
Exactly, right? So that's stupid. And then if I'm Cersei, I'm like, well, why don't we just end this whole thing right now, and I just say archers just unleash and kill all these dudes? I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
because
I
just
understand
don't
from
think
a,
it would work.
Well, I understand from a story perspective, like, they're trying to build tension. I just thought the whole front part of that episode was so good, and then everybody just got so dumb at the end. It's like they're all just doing stupid things. Like, why are they there? Like, the whole reason they were there is so the writers could shoot the dragon out of the sky and create that tension. But it didn't have to be. Like, what general scouts ahead all by themselves when their whole army is days behind marching on horseback? And, like, why am I going to hop on a ship and, you know,
beat
everybody there? I don't know. Like I said, I know we don't talk about Game of Thrones much, but it just really struck me that it was... I love Game of Thrones. You know, don't get me wrong. I think it's fantastic. But I don't know. It's like with two episodes left, and that was like what we see at the end of the third to the last episode. It's like, I don't know.
Well, I think
just really a bunch of dumb military decisions that they made.
I think that next episode's gonna. I think it'll redeem. They'll redeem themselves.
They may.
They only have two left.
Right. Right. They've only got. Basically 3 hours left to finish this story, but I don't know. So. Like I said, it just was bugging me, so I said, well, I'll bring it up.
There you go. Hey, that wasn't bad, though.
Yeah.
Hey, we do watch other things other than comic books, it's not a bad thing to talk about.
No, honestly, I'm surprised we don't talk about it at all, because it's right in our wheelhouse, you know?
It kind of is, we're already... 2+ hours.
Well, I'm not talking about just today, but I'm saying in general. I'm surprised that's never come up on the show.
Right.
But Maybe we'll do a Game of Thrones when it's all said and done. Who knows?
Wow. Look at us.
Yeah.
So, speaking of next week, I meant to talk to you about this earlier today, but I think it's okay to break it to you now.
Uh-oh.
What do you think? We've done Endgame. We've done comic books. We've done Hellboy. Oh, we did Hellboy. We did Shazam.
Did Hellboy?
Yeah. Let's... How about next week we do Star Wars Attack of the Clones? Oh, the Clone Wars.
The...
Episode 2.
Oh, I thought... Okay, the movie. Not the Clone Wars. The movie. The TV show.
No. Because we did... We've already done Phantom Menace. Let's go in order. And let's hit a Star Wars next
week.
Did
we do Phantom Menace that anybody heard?
Yes, we did.
Oh, okay.
Yes, we did. We actually released that one. Okay. If people want to venture back and go and listen to it, I don't recommend it.
I thought that was one of our lost episodes. I thought that was one of the lost tapes.
Nope. That's a legit.
Oh,
that's
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize now.
It's actually... did we not?
I don't think we put it out.
Yeah, we did. No, we did. Issue 6. Oh, okay. Star Wars, Episode 1, The Phantom Menace.
Okay.
So, yes, we did. That was an early one. Our first ever was Solo.
Right.
And then, so we've done, and now this would be, I think we should do next week, take a break from the comics. I mean, we'll still do our whole comics thing, but we'll talk, can you watch it by next week?
I'm sure I can.
All right. Let's do that.
Okay.
Sounds
like
Star Wars Episode 2. That'll be fun. All right. So, what did we miss on Tony Stark? I'm just so much. Were you deep into Tony Stark? Do you love Tony Stark and have been reading him? Let us know. Talk to us on, like I said before, start a conversation. Tell us what we missed. Tell us what we're wrong. Tell us what we're right. Because we have a Team John. and we have a hashtag John's Right.
That's right.
Both. You know, this. I'm not getting any.
I say there's no hashtag Team DJ. I'll just say that right now.
Actually, so. There was.
Well, yeah, but you there made was. It up, so that doesn't count.
No. Somebody said hashtag Team DJ.
Oh, okay.
Somebody tweeted it out. We have one of those. We have two for you. Oh, okay. Nobody's not too identical. People don't understand how that works.
Yeah, hashtags only work if they're the same.
If they're repetitive. John's number one. Yeah, so you can hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. We're on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. We're on SoundCloud. So, yeah, let us know. And we are on Facebook. Go ahead, John.
Facebook.com/brightsidechat.
And I am on Facebook now.
Awesome.
So you can find me at David Briggs. And then I have, it says DJ after it, because that's my real name. And I'm pretty much using that for Brightside stuff. And then once I get linked to the Brightside account, I'll forward stuff there. But you can follow me on Facebook. And that's where I post a lot of, I'm going to be posting a lot of Brightside stuff there. So if you're not on Twitter, but you're on Facebook, you can talk to us there.
Okay.
All right. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home. You close up the store.
Sounds good.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Brightside Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.